We're doing the Sefer Amidot, Shaar HaYirah. We're up to page Kuf Tet Vav. And the Magen Midumne had described that there are two types of fear. There's fear of punishment, and then there's fear that stems from recognition of how great God is. And he says that second fear, obviously, is the higher level of fear. He had said that a person should aspire to that level of fear, where even if he knew that nothing bad would happen, he wouldn't lose anything, nonetheless, he would have fear of Hashem. Even if he knew that, that if he didn't, nothing bad would happen to him. Life would continue as it was. V'zeh shamar od, and that's what the verse further says, Yiru et Hashem kedoshav ken machsor lireyav. Fear Hashem, His holy ones, for there is no lacking to those that fear Him. Ritzono lomar, meaning what he means to say is, gam kasher en machsor lireyav, that the people who fear Hashem, even when they're living in a period where they're lacking nothing, they have everything they desire, in kol ze yirat ha'malam rachefet al pneihem. The trait of those who are really God-fearing is that, nonetheless, the fear of God's greatness still hovers upon them. And this is the way the wise men, the true wise men, choose Torah and mitzvos, because they understand, they start having a perception of how precious the Torah is and how unique the Torah is. How precious the mitzvos are, how exceptional the mitzvos are. For they are the sayings of Hashem, the pure sayings. And these people prevent themselves from sin, not because they're running away from punishment, but the sin in and of itself they find disgusting. As the verse says, those who love Hashem hate evil. Because when you love Hashem and you attain that level of perception, then what the Torah describes as evil is repulsive to a person. In my mind, I started writing a book. I don't know if I'm ever going to write it. But I have a thought to write a short story about a young man who grew up Orthodox and one day discovers that the question of whether he is Jewish is put into question. Maybe his mother or his great-grandmother somewhere up the line was not really Jewish. And when he discovers this, so he gives it to a court to research, and the court tells him that they're going to hit a bottom line on Wednesday, but all indications are, they tell him on Sunday, that they're going to come to a definitive conclusion that he is not Jewish. Meaning it's not going to be a question. They need one more piece of information to validate it. But on Wednesday they will know for sure. But there is a very, very strong possibility that seems to them, they'd give it a 90% chance, that on Wednesday they will tell him 100% that he is not Jewish. And come Sunday, he says to himself, okay, so I got to set up a Beis Din for Wednesday afternoon to do my gear and start Jewish life. And then he calls to do the verifications and he finds out that the Beis Din won't convene till Thursday. So he says, okay, so I'll live one more day. If it turns out my whole life I haven't been living Jewish, so one more day, what's going to be with that day? And then he says to himself, well, actually, on that day, I could eat a cheeseburger. You know, and his mind starts wandering as to what he would like to do if he finds out on Wednesday morning that he is really not Jewish. What would he like to do between Wednesday and Thursday going to the mikvah? Meaning it's very clear to him that he wants to go to the mikvah on Thursday. He would go on Wednesday, but he can't. And now that he's going to have to go on Thursday, he starts thinking, what will I do during those 24 hours? And this is really where the book takes off. So now his mind starts wandering. And you could imagine that it goes in every direction. And the punchline, meaning the direction, is that by Monday or Tuesday, he comes full circle. And he starts looking at himself he looks repulsively at himself. And he says, is this what I'm worth? Have I not really connected to the mitzvos beyond this? Don't I see the truth in what I'm doing? I do, so I'm going for gear afterwards. But then why is it that until I finish the process, I'm saying, well, let me go do all the other things. So it's not a sin for me. Okay. But don't I see the value in this way of life, even though it's not a sin? And that's the storyline. That's the direction I was thinking. And I was struck by this, because very often I speak to guys here who are in the gear process, and very often I tell them that if I were in their shoes, I don't know if I would do gear. I don't know. I never had the opportunity to be tested. I don't know. You know, I admire people who do, but I can't say what I would do in their shoes. So I started thinking to myself, how can I say that? Why do I say that? And then I decided that maybe I'm not the only one that would say that. But I think that that's the direction he's taking us here. That we have to aspire to a level that we connect, so much so that if we found out that on Thursday we would be able to do gear, we wouldn't want to do anything different on Wednesday. Because we'd have an appreciation for what the mitzvos are, an appreciation for this way of life. And the more you look around, that's what we said in our Basics in Judaism class, that as you mature and start seeing what really lies behind the different ways of life that are out there, you start having a greater appreciation for the way of life that Judaism gives us. When you're a youngster, so it seems like everything's the same. We have what's permitted and prohibited. They have what's permitted and prohibited. We're all the same. As you grow, you start seeing it's not at all the same. It's not even similar. So he says that's the level of Yiru et Hashem Kedoshav. We should aspire to being those holy people that fear Hashem, Kien Masoli Reav, even when we'd be lacking nothing, when it doesn't feel like I need to fear Him. I have everything I need. But I have such awe, I have such respect. So it's an aspiration. I'm not saying it's easy to get there. I mentioned on Friday that these are high levels. This isn't easy. But at least we should know where we should try to go. Now we could understand what the Mishnah says. Whoever's fear of sin precedes their wisdom. We could understand their intent and their thought when they said his fear of his sin precedes his wisdom. Then his wisdom will last. Here our sages were talking about the small level of being a God-fearing person. That's just the gate to enter. And because of that fear of sin, a person straightens his path. Mitzvot, umasim tovim, to go in the way of the Torah, to go in the way of mitzvos and good deeds. But that's just the beginning. A person has to begin by saying, I'm scared, I don't want to sin, who knows what's going to happen to me. But that's only the beginning. We have to attain higher connections to Hashem. Not that our relationship revolves around that type of fear. To the point where a person perceives the pleasantness of God's honor. Al der shamar chasida nivchar alav shalom, as the chosen pious one, King David, said, "Vani kirvat Elokim li tov." What's good for me in life is being close to Hashem. That's the level we aspire to. That's the closeness we want. It feels right, and everything else feels wrong. And it's a level that keeps evolving. People sometimes think they got there, and then they find out otherwise, and then they have to work again. And like we discussed again in our Back to Basics, in our Basics in Judaism class, that all of Emunah and Avodat Hashem is cyclical. You attain a level on a small scale, you suddenly realize it doesn't stand up to many challenges, you start again. And that life is a cycle. And as we go through the cycle, we have the times we fail, we have the times we succeed, we learn more about ourselves, and we learn more about how to grow within the cycle. And that a person reaches the stage where he chooses for his soul to cling, to stick to the Torah. The Torah of Hashem is God, and his mitzvos are his great desire in life.